think we had a little technical difficulty on the microphones there, but that's mother and sister, so what, right, huh, Brother Jake? So this never did come on, I don't think, did it? I don't think it ever did come on, so maybe we're not hooked up. We'll have to check that out after the service. Brother Jerry, come on, brother. God bless you. We're glad that you're here.
Well, it's so good to be here. We've been looking forward to being with you all, and of course we appreciate your church. And the many times that you have been an encouragement to us, I was just thinking when we came home for Rachel's mother's funeral, y'all sent us to help with travel. And so we greatly appreciate things like that. I also want to thank you for your investment in the radio station. I know y'all gave an amount towards that, and we purchased our radio tower with that, and that's in the country, and you'll see some of that on our video. And Lord willing, this year we'll have that up and running. We just had we've had several churches and different people give to that. And then an individual here just in the past month and a half gave $25,000 towards the project. So that was very exciting. And so we're shipping a container with all of the radio equipment and that type of thing. And so, Lord willing, this year, really pray about the process to get it approved, our application process. Pray that we wouldn't have a lot of issues, the red tape and that type of thing. I was telling Pastor, I was very surprised when I started preparing for this and all the different things that the government asked for. They're slipshod in so many other ways, but in this area for radio, they are very on top of it. And so pray that things would go smoothly and they don't drag their feet. And we're told once we submit it within 4 months, we could be up and running. And so pray that that would go smoothly. Another thing that I'd like to elaborate on is our what we're calling the Tanzanian Stadium Crusade. And this has been kind of a dream of mine ever since I was a young person. And to fill a stadium, there's the Jamhuri Stadium in our city, to fill it and to preach to them. And so I began praying about that and thinking about that. And what we're doing is we're bringing in two professional soccer teams. And these are professional on the NBA, NFL level for Tanzania, for that country. And we'll be bringing in these soccer teams. And then during the halftime, we'll do a program. We'll do the halftime show. And so I'll be preaching. We'll have some Christ-honoring music. And so for about 25 minutes, we'll do that in between the soccer match. And so we're excited about this. Everybody that comes will get a John and Romans. We have those in Tanzania all ready to go. So there could be anywhere from 15 to 20,000 people. I've heard different numbers and different things. And so pray that God would fill that stadium, that things would go smoothly, that they'd quiet down during the preaching time. And as you could imagine, third world countries and soccer matches, sometimes it could be a riot or something of that nature. And so pray that things go smoothly. Y'all don't hear on CNN some white missionary was trampled or something like that. And then everybody that comes will get a card. We'll ask them to fill that out if they've trusted Christ as their Savior. They'll denote that and put their telephone number there. And then within 72 hours, one of our church members will give them a call and try to get them into church. And so just not a one-time push, although that's a great benefit, but we're praying that we'd see fruit that would remain from this and that we'd be able to see people get into church because of it and obviously get the name of the church out there, get the gospel out there. On the back of these John and Romans is a clear presentation of the gospel as well. And so I really think this is going to be a great opportunity. So pray that that goes smoothly. And then the last thing that's not on our video, at the end of the year in October, we're going to be hosting a medical missions team. And they'll be coming over, some doctors and some nurses, and we'll bring them into our auditorium from the States. They're coming. We'll clear out our pews and we'll set up dividers. And they'll sit down and talk to people. People come in with malaria and typhoid and TB and, you know, these different diseases that are prevalent in Tanzania. And then they'll go from that stage to the next stage, sitting one-on-one with one of our church members and hearing a clear presentation of the gospel. And then they'll go on to get their medication and that type of thing. And so we're praying that this will be a way to show people we do care about their physical needs, but more importantly, we care about their spiritual need. And this group, they say they can process anywhere from 1,500 people to 2,000 people during the week that they're there. And so pray that that would go smoothly as well, that we'd people would come out, that they wouldn't shy away from it. But at the same time, we wouldn't be overwhelmed and not be able to help people. That God would bring just the amount that He feels we can handle, and that we'd be able to impact these people spiritually through medical missions. And so we're really excited about that. A lot of things going on there in Tanzania. Our video will pretty well explain that. Seen many hundreds of people saved and discipled and baptized and all of these things. And so if you've had any part in your mission giving, you've had a part in that. And it's always exciting to report back to churches that have been a part, that have partnered with us there in Tanzania. And so everything that you see, you've had a part in. And we appreciate you standing behind us from really day one when we came through on deputation. And believing in us, having not done really anything except graduating from college. And you believed in us, and we appreciate that so much. And we're excited to see what God now has in the future. And we believe there's a lot of different things, and those are just a few of those things. But the video will explain some of that a little bit more if we could get that started now. And we thank you so much for loving on us. Thank you.
I remember when I was a young person, I was a kind of in, out of the church. And I remember when Brother Jay came from America, he encouraged me to be faithful at church. And when we was camping, he preached a message, and he touched my heart, that message. And I surrender to serve the Lord. As my youth pastor, and now is my pastor, he taught me a lot of things. I learned from him, and I love to work with him to serve the Lord here in Tanzania. He's the one he made my wife and I, and now we have a babe. His name is Jonathan. I really enjoy the preacher's courage. I learned how to be a preacher and how to go and to save the Lord around. Now I work with the youth. I enjoy to take the team out for soul winning. And I'm teaching Bible in 2 public schools. I drive a church van to take people to different areas to bring them to church. Also, my wife and I, we run the Calvary's Love Children's Home. We have 6 boys. We live with them together at the house. And we have the outreach ministry. We have the kids. They show up in the ministry. We teach them the Bible. We feed them a meal. We pray games with them. And we see a lot of kids get saved through this ministry.
Hello, this is Missionary Jerry Wyatt, pastor of the Faith Baptist Church here in Morogoro, Tanzania. My wife and I have been missionaries here for the past 6 years, and we're excited to share with you what God has been doing here in Tanzania. I became pastor of the Faith Baptist Church in 2012, and God has continued to bless in the ministries here. It's a period of time that we went through some trials and some valleys, but we're so thankful for the faithful church members who stayed faithful in their ministries and to the church. Recently, God has blessed in so many different ways. We recently just purchased 2 minivans, as well as received a container full of 150,000 John and Romans, as well as 150,000 tracts. The church is full of many activities throughout the week, and we'd like to share some of those with you as we look at what God is doing here in Tanzania. Our deaf ministry is an exciting ministry for our deaf folk. Each week in our services, we have a gentleman who translates all of the services for the deaf, as well as we teach in a public school where there are deaf, and they come and learn a Bible lesson each week. We have different children's and youth ministry. The youth, we have camps and youth conferences. We've seen hundreds of young people come through our church and get saved, get baptized, join the church through our youth conferences, through our special camps, soccer Sundays, As a youth pastor, there were many young people that now that I've married that we're working alongside, and we're looking to that next generation to reach Tanzania. Each week we have Bible clubs, we teach in our public schools, and a wide open opportunity to preach the gospel freely in our public schools. We have games and as well as teach a Bible lesson. Another exciting ministry is our boys' home. We started in partnership with the Calvary Baptist Church in Maryland, and we're so thankful for the other churches that have come alongside this ministry to continue it. And we're excited to see where God will take this ministry in the future. We have 6 boys in the home right now. We also have an outreach ministry in conjunction with the home for orphans. Here at our church, we provide a meal and they play games. And I've seen many children accept Christ. The Preacher's College is a wonderful tool for the men of our church. There's currently 6 men that have felt the calling of God to preach. And each time we meet, we learn about preaching. We learn about studying God's Word. And it's exciting ministry to see how these men have been used of God to in our different ministries, whether it be preaching in our public schools or here at church or in Sunday school with our youth. And to see these men grounded in God's Word. Our church is heavily involved in outreach and soul winning. And each week we have the opportunity several times to go out visiting, soul winning, inviting people to church, as well as throughout the year, different crusades and different campaigns, soul winning campaigns and outreaches. We have our farm fair where we give out thousands of tracts. We see many, hundreds of people saved. And it's exciting to see how white the harvest field truly is and how our church folks have the burden to go out and reach people for the cause of Christ. Another opportunity we have is going out to villages. And what an exciting opportunity to go out there and to preach the gospel. We are currently going out to the village of Kolelo. And we're just praying to see what God would have for that village, preaching the gospel, going out into these villages. We are praying about future villages. There's so many, so many. We pass many villages going to the village of Kolelo. And my heart is burdened every time we go through these villages, realizing that there's no gospel preaching church. As our family looks to the future and the ministry here in Tanzania, we have 3 main important areas that once we return, we're looking forward to getting involved in. The first is a church plant. We'll be starting the Faith Baptist Church of Kigoma. There's 2 men that we've begun working with. One of the men, of course, will be the pastor. We'll be laying hands on him. We've begun training them at how to start a church and soul winning. And we've given them material. And we're looking forward to next year starting the Faith Baptist Church of Kigoma. The second thing is our radio ministry. What a wide open door we have to preach the gospel here in Morogoro and in the future beyond in Tanzania, all over. And we've already started compiling the needed paperwork. We've received our radio tower. We shipped that in. We've received our building permits to build the studio. We're praying that God would provide the needed finances and that folks would get involved in making Project Reached by Radio a reality. And you continue to pray for that. And the third thing is the Tanzanian Stadium Crusade. We have a stadium here in Morogoro where we'll be hosting 2 professional soccer teams to play a soccer game. And our church will be the halftime show. And I'll be preaching the gospel to thousands. We'd like to pack the stadium. There'll be thousands of people there. Each person will receive a John and Romans, as well as an invitation to our church and a clear presentation of the gospel. And so you pray as we endeavor to put together the finances and the needed material to make this a reality. We'll be doing this in the summer of 2015. And so we're excited about the open doors that God has opened for us here in Tanzania. You continue to pray. You give. Come visit us. And we're excited to see what God has for Faith Baptist Church and the Wyatt family here in Tanzania. So as you can see, a lot of things going on there in Tanzania. And please grab one of our prayer cards. And we also have specific prayer cards for the crusade. And we're asking folks to grab one. It's a blue card out there. And pray for that July 25th. And I believe if the Lord will get in it, we'll see a lot of people saved and some lives changed. And so really grab one of those cards, and then our family prayer card. Grab one of those and place that in a prominent place to remember to pray for us. And we greatly appreciate that. The greatest thing you can do for any missionary is to pray for them. And I really mean that. Open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. And there in Tanzania, we speak Swahili. And if you've never heard Swahili spoken, just to give you a little taste of what a message might sound like, if y'all were a bunch of Tanzanians, this is what it would sound like. Haya jamani, tutaangalia neno la Mungu na jioni tutaangalia jinsi tunahitaji kumtegemea Yesu. Natumaini langu mnaniamini, natumaini langu mnamwamini Yesu, si ndio? Amen. Thank you. One. We've got one that believes in relying on Jesus. So that is Swahili. And of course, I grew up there. We went there when I was 10 years old. And when I was 17, the Lord spoke to my heart about going back to Tanzania. I'd grown up knowing that I would serve the Lord and be a preacher. When I was 9, I surrendered to do that. But when I was 17, the Lord spoke to my heart about going back to Tanzania. And so went to Bible college, met my wife, and this is my wife, Rachel. Honey, if you'd stand. I always forget that. Thank you. And David is sitting here, and Kate is in the nursery, and Andrew is in the nursery. And then we have Aaron, Joseph Brown, Pastor Brown's son, my brother-in-law. And so it was actually Rachel's idea. She thought it'd be a great bonding time. I said, honey, we've got 3 kids already. And but they've been bonding, so we've been having a good time. We head back to Tanzania the end of this month, so we'll be at Marion Avenue for the Our Time conference, and then we head out. And so pray. We're shipping a container, and so we're shipping 20,000 pencils and 20,000 invitations and cards and banners, 33-foot banner. And all of these types of things. And so pray that everything goes smoothly. The 9th, it's going to be packed. And we're not going to be there. Another pastor and his church will be packing that. And so a lot of things going on. And just continue to pray. I apologize for my voice. I was getting over a cold and taking some medication for that. But I feel like it's a little bit weak. So I apologize if it falters some. But before we get into the message, let's pray. And we'll get into the preaching of God's Word. Lord, we come before You. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. Lord, I pray that You'd fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, I pray that You'd guide my tongue, my thoughts. Lord, and uphold my voice. And Lord, I pray that You'd speak to the hearts of Your people, Lord, that something that I say this evening through Your Word would be a challenge to them. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 7. I'd like to look at one phrase here, and then we'll look at the passage as a whole. But 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. Look at the end of verse 3. We see a phrase here. We see there's 4 leprous men. They're sitting there, and they are kind of taking inventory of their life and looking at their life. And they ask each other this question: why sit we here until we die? Why sit we here until we die? And they were looking at themselves, and of course these were leprous men. They were thrust out of the city, sitting outside the gate there, dying of leprosy. Inside the city is a great famine. And they said, why sit we here until we die? Essentially saying, are we just going to continue to sit here? We're going to die. Are we going to continue to sit here until we die? Are we going to do something with the life that we have? And I'd like to challenge you and stir you up. I understand this is a Wednesday night, but I'd like to challenge you and stir you up. And I'd like you to ask yourself this evening, am I sitting here until I die? Even the greatest Christian at times can get lethargic and can get monotonous in their Christian life. And I want to challenge you this evening not to simply sit in the Christian life. It's easy. Sometimes we get into a rut. We find ourselves just being a sitter. And we find ourselves just sitting and enjoying all those around us serving and a church that's vibrant. And we find ourselves sitting. And I wonder, would that be you this evening? I hope you wouldn't sit, be a sitter, and I hope you wouldn't simply sit there spiritually until you die. Oh, you may be busy with your job or education or dating or whatever, marriage and children and all of these things, and these things aren't necessarily bad, but are you sitting in your Christian life this evening? Why sit we here until we die? There are many Christians who are not doing God's will for their life. You see, God placed you in this church for a purpose and a plan. And God has put you in this body for a purpose. It's not just to work your job and live the American life. You know, there in Tanzania, as you all, I'm sure, know from testimonies of other missionaries, but Tanzania being a third world country, when I preach messages like these to them, I challenge them and I remind them that God has a purpose for them. It's not just to live with malaria and to live in these mud huts and eke out a living. If life was just to live and enjoy life and die, if that was all there was to it, why would they even want to live? Because they're not enjoying life from day to day, dealing with malaria and the life expectancy being the 50s and living in the dust and going out to the fields early in the morning and toiling all day. And if that was their life, why would they want to live? But see, God does have a purpose for them, and it's greater than just living and making money and living from day to day. So it has a purpose and a plan. And I wonder, are you fulfilling God's will for your life? Are you doing that thing that God created you to do? There's so many Christians that are going to golf their way or Facebook their way or hobby their way into the presence of Jesus Christ having not done His will. And I hope that wouldn't be you this evening. And if you're there or if you're heading that direction, I hope this would be a wake-up call to you this evening, that you'd take inventory of your life this evening. That you would say, I'm not just going to sit here. I need to do my part in this church. I need to do my part in getting the gospel to the lost here in Illinois and through missions, worldwide evangelism, and getting the gospel to this world. I'm not just going to sit here until I die, until Pastor does my funeral. And I'm laid across the front here, just simply having sat in the pew until I died. Maybe you say, I can't do much. Everybody can do something. Well, I'm too young. I'm too old. Don't just give up and sit there until you... Everybody can do something, and we all need to do something. Why sit we here until we die? I'd like to look at these men and look at their story, and I believe there's some things we can glean from their lives and to understand better their question. And to learn from this question. Let's read here in 2 Kings chapter 7. We'll read verse 3 and verse 4. The Bible says, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. The first point here is no matter what, death is sure. Obviously, Jesus could return any moment and we'd go immediately to heaven. But most certainly, death is sure. Hebrews says, and it is appointed unto men once to die. And so no matter what we do with our lives, we are going to die. Whether you live your life for yourself or whether you live your life for Him, you're going to die one day. You cannot give me one good reason to live your life for yourself, but I can give you plenty of good reasons to live your life for Him. Can give you plenty of good reasons to live your life doing His will. were going to die. These men, they said, you know what, if we sit here, we're going to die. It's a famine. We're dying of leprosy. If we go in the city, there's a famine. If we go to the enemy, most likely we'll die. It's most likely death. The Syrian army, they'll kill us. But they knew in their hearts they couldn't sit any longer. God placed within their hearts this desire to get up and go. And the realization that they couldn't sit any longer. That they needed to get up and go. They could have pushed that out of their minds. No, we don't want to die at the hands of the enemy. We'll just sit here. They didn't do that. But they realized that no matter what they did, they were going to die. And so they said, why not die doing what we know is right? Why not die doing what we know is right? Missionary John Faulkner understood this when he said, I have but one candle of life to burn. He had one life. He knew he had one opportunity, one shot at living for the Lord. And in his particular case, he said, I'd rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light. He was simply saying, I'm going to do God's will for my life. I've only got one candle. And I'm going to burn it out serving Him, not serving myself. And I realize not everybody here is going to go to the mission field. Of course, we all need to be surrendered, be willing. Lord, if You'd have me go, I'll go. But Lord, I know You want me to be right where I'm at. But realizing, Lord, I need to find Your will and I need to do that which You created me to do. So the first thing, no matter what you do, no matter what, death is sure. The second thing that I believe we can see here is be willing to do God's will for your life, even if it means death. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul simply saying, no matter what, if I live, I'll be living for Christ. If I die, that's gain. I'll just be going to Him. But Paul saying, I've got to do God's plan for my life. And these men saying, we've got to do what's right, even if it means death. They came to the point in their physical lives where their lives were no longer important to them. Doing what was right was important. Reminds me of the story of James Calvert, missionary to the Fiji Islands. You may have heard his story before, but he was disembarking the boat to go to the islands there. Of course, there were cannibals. And the captain of the ship begged them to stay. He reminded them, if you go, you will die, and the men with you will die. And James Calvert replied, we died before we came here. Simply saying our lives are no longer important to us, doing God's will for our lives is the most important thing. And desiring to do that, even if it were to mean death. Now, here in the United States, I mean, there's Christians every day that are dying for the name of Jesus Christ around this world. And at this point in America, we are not asked, God has not asked us, Jesus has not asked us to die for His name as of yet. It may come to that point. Who knows? But, you know, it's interesting because it's so easy to shoot our hand up and say, I'll die for Jesus Christ. Just like Peter, he shot his hand up. He said, Christ, I'll die with You. But when it came to the point in his life where he needed to live for Him, that was the tough part and he ran. And it may be easy to sit here and say, I would die for Christ. Yet from day to day, we don't live for Him. And I want to challenge you this evening, rather than shooting your hand up and saying, I'll die for Jesus Christ, simply say, I'll live for Him tomorrow. I'll live for Him this week. I'll be a testimony at the workplace. I'll be the husband I need to be. I'll be the Sunday school teacher I need to be. I'll do God's will for my life. Christian, are you willing to do God's will, even if it were to mean death, but are you willing to do His will from day to day? To simply live for Him? These men, they said, our lives are no longer important to us. We feel that we need to go. We need to stop sitting. We're not going to sit any longer. We're going to get up and go. And it may not be comfortable. God may give you an ailment so that you can be a testimony at the hospital. I wonder, are you willing to dress a little differently to be a testimony to this world? I wonder, are you willing to do things, get up early, maybe Saturday, or go out and you say, I just don't feel comfortable confronting somebody with the gospel. Or just going just cold turkey to somebody's door. I wonder, are you willing to do some things that maybe aren't very comfortable to do God's will for your life? So one-legged missionary from Scotland to China, his name was George Stott. He was asked, why with only one leg are you going to China? Of course, anybody would say with that kind of a handicap, you can stay home. We'll let you stay home. We understand. And he said, I don't see those with two legs going, so I must. And this man with a great handicap didn't use that as an excuse. He said, God's will for my life is to go to China, and so I'm going to go. It's going to be uncomfortable. We may suffer some persecution by maybe some words or some mockery. There's a missionary to Africa. I don't know who it was, but I read his story and somebody asked him, so do you really like what you do there in Africa? Do you just love it? And I like his response. It's a little bit different. He said, do I like this work? No. My wife and I do not like dirt. We have reasonably refined sensibilities. We do not like crawling into vile huts through goat refuse. But as a man to do nothing for Christ he does not like, God pity him if not. Liking or disliking has nothing to do with it. We have orders to go, and we go. Love constrains us. Well, there are plenty of things in Africa that I do not like or enjoy. And you hear different testimonies of missionaries dealing with water and electricity and cultural aspects and all of these different and diseases. Boy, the multitude of diseases there in Africa and all of these things. Now, don't get me wrong. I love seeing people get saved. And I love having the opportunity to bring these Tanzanians the gospel. But of course, there are going to be some things that I do not like, that my wife does not enjoy. But that really doesn't matter. Because this is what God has called us to do. And so we do it because love constrains us. Not because it's comfortable. See, so often we search out the comfortable things in the Christian life, and that's what we'll be willing to do. But if God is asking us to do something uncomfortable, we push back, we push away from it. I wonder, are you willing to do God's will and God's purpose and plan for your life, even if it's a little uncomfortable? Maybe you're afraid to surrender to go to the mission field. You're afraid maybe God would call you. Maybe you're afraid to do as our Lord asked, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. Maybe your child might be called to the mission field. You're afraid to do that. I hope that's not you this evening. The third thing that I see here, let's look in verse 5, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 5. And they rose up in the twilight. So they were sitting outside the gate and they said, we're not going to sit here any longer. And verse 5, they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Verse 7, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. Number 3, when He calls, He provides. God's speaking to you about something you know is His will and His plan for your life. Maybe it's volunteering to help out in that Sunday school class. Maybe it's to go out on visitation. I don't know, but God's speaking to you. Maybe it's to be a youth pastor, an assistant pastor, a missionary, or a pastor. And you've been holding back. You've been scared to take that step of faith. I promise the Lord will provide. The Lord will enable if you simply take that step and obey. Boy, how many Christians miss the blessings of God because they want to see it. Lord, I'll start giving to missions as soon as I get that raise. Lord, You know my heart. As soon as I get the raise, I promise I'll start giving to missions. We want to see it. Or I'll start tithing. Or I'll, Lord, as soon as you work this out, then I'll do this. And we like to barter with God. But the Lord is telling us, hey, trust me. If I've called you, if I'll enable you. Well, as a young person and sitting in the auditorium just as a teenager and seeing men preach and missionaries and going to the foreign field, boy, I would sit there scared and think, could I ever do that? And even before the service, I think, can I do that? But obviously God enables. And God gives you the strength. And God gives you the boldness. You say, I couldn't share the gospel with that person. You take that step and God will give you that boldness. I can't give like that, but you take that step and God, you know, we've all heard the thought, I wonder if up in heaven there'll be a room of all the missed blessings that we could have had we trusted the Lord, had we taken that step. Boy, you think of Abraham and Isaac climbing that mountain. Abraham not knowing that God was already working. These four men, as they're sitting at the gate, and they say, we can't sit here any longer. We've got to get up and go. They had no idea what the Lord was working out. They had no idea that God was running off the whole army. They had no idea. But they simply took that step of faith, trusting the Lord. You see, when God calls, He provides. I wonder if the Lord's speaking to you about something. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe it's a financial step. Maybe it's a spiritual step. Maybe it's a ministry step. But I wonder if the Lord's been speaking to your heart and you've been holding back. And you've been afraid. I want to encourage you this evening. Take that step. Take that step. The fourth thing that I see here, verse 8. And when these lepers came to the innermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried them silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. There's always a great blessing when we obey God's call. Boy, He enables us. He provides. He paves the way. Not only does that, He also blesses us. And boy, the joy of serving the Lord. We've all heard it many times, the safest place that you can be is in the center of God's will. And really the happiest place you can ever be is in the center of God's will. Boy, there are trials and there are sad times, but boy, the joy that is still there even through those trials. Just a couple weeks before we left for this furlough there in Tanzania, we had to move houses, and it was really last minute, and we were getting boxes together and things, and David, our firstborn son, came up and he tugged on my shirt. He said, Dad, I'd like to ask Jesus to come into my heart. And boy, the joy and the fear that welled up in my heart and wanting to make sure that he understood and that, you know, of course we hadn't pushed him, but we you know, obviously we've been praying for him to trust Christ even from before he was born. And I sat down there and went through the plan of salvation, and he answered and said things I had no idea he understood, and of course we've been talking about it in devotions, but I said, do you know you're a sinner? And he said, yes. I said, well, what is sin? And he said, well, when I hit Kate, my sister, I said, yep, that's sin. And he understood and he trusted Christ. But reflecting on that weeks and months later, I thought, I wonder, would David have been able to trust Christ the way he did had I been out of God's will? Boy, being right where I was supposed to be, I was able to reap that joy and that benefit. But I wonder if I had been running from the Lord. I know David would have had to answer to God for his own soul. But boy, I sure could have influenced and damned my son to hell because of my disobedience. But because I was where I was supposed to be, the joy of seeing him trust Christ. And there are many, many other blessings and joys that we could share this evening, and testimonies of people and marriages that have been salvaged and all of these things. And I wonder, are you missing those joys and those blessings that God has for you? Because you're not where you're supposed to be. Maybe you're supposed to be in that Sunday school class helping out, but you've backed off. Maybe you're afraid to go out on visitation. Maybe you haven't been giving like you should. I don't know. But I hope you wouldn't miss out, because there's always great blessing when we obey God's will for our life. Let's look at the fifth thing here. Verse 9. So we see these men, great blessing. Verse 8, eating and getting raiment. Can you imagine the joy? Now verse 9. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." They said, "We do not well." I wonder, church, what is it that they did not well? I want to ask you this evening, is eating a bad thing? No. We all enjoy eating. I enjoyed eating Cracker Barrel this evening. And it's funny, there in Tanzania, it's not a bad thing to be heavy. And every time we come back from the States, I always gain 20 pounds, 15 pounds. I try weed at Subway, but boy, those Big Macs and cheeseburgers, when you don't get them for 2 and 3 years... look so good. And so every time I go back, "Pastor, you've gained weight. You look great. You're so fat." You know, and now guys, Americans, that's not a compliment, okay? Let's try to update them on the cultural aspect of that. But eating is not a bad thing. Getting raiment is not a bad thing. Saving money, putting it away for family and making sure you're taking care of your family is not a bad thing. So what was it that they said, we do not well? All of these things are bad things if we're too busy doing those rather than sharing the good news. And so often we as Christians are busy doing good things when we sit quietly with that great news. And we sit on this wonderful news of salvation, and we neglect to get it to this world. Eating, drinking, taking care of our family, going to work, having a hobby. These things aren't bad, but when they take the place, push out and snuff out your ability and your desire to get the gospel beginning here to the world, then you do not well. And we do not well. See, this wonderful news is so life-changing. Can you imagine the news that day? The famine in that city. Of course, they were eating crazy things. They were cannibals, in a sense. And some of them had eaten their children. And the famine and the intense famine in that city. But boy, the joy of hearing this news of salvation. The food and even the clothing and all that came with it. And these men, they said, "We can't sit here silent any longer. We felt impressed to go. We went. We reaped the benefits, the blessings, but we're not going to keep this to ourselves any longer. This can change lives." And boy, the gospel, how it changes lives. I read a story a couple months back about an Englishman who went to the Fiji Islands, the same islands that James Calvert went to. And this particular Englishman was an atheist. And he went there and he saw a native from the islands there walking to the church house with his Bible in his hand. And he told him, he said, "The Bible is no good. Your religion about Christ is false." I thought it was kind of funny. The simple native teacher replied, he said, "It's a good thing for you we left our heathenism and cannibalism and took our Bibles and Christianity, else you would be clubbed, cooked in a native oven, and eaten." Boy, the lives and the testimonies and the faces that you saw there changed. Drunkards and men beating their wives and all of these things. Why? Because of the gospel. The gospel. And how many people right here in this city need their lives changed through the gospel? And I wonder, are we doing our part? Matthew 5, 14 through 16, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a candle, under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our job, folks, is to shine brightly. We only have one candle. Let's not put that under a bushel. Let's not be too busy eating and drinking and fellowshipping, enjoying the American Christian life, that we're too busy to be a part in evangelism right where we're at. We're too busy and spending too much finances on enjoying life that we don't have any left to give to worldwide evangelism. Let's be faithful to the gospel that we've been given. I'll finish with this illustration. There was a missionary in China many, many years ago, and he went to China. He learned the language and the culture. And a company there in China went to him and said, "Listen, we will hire you and we'll give you $5,000 a month if you'll work for our company." And he rejected the offer. They came back again. They said, "Listen, we'll raise that to $7,000 a month if you'll just work for our company." Again, he rejected it. They came back again and they said, $10,000 a month. Boy, back then, that was a lot of money. Even now, that's good money. But back then, if you could imagine, he said, no. And they pleaded with him. They said, what is your sticking point? What is it that you want? Do you want a house? Why won't you take this offer? What is it that you want?" And his reply was this. He said, "Oh, the salary is big enough, but the job isn't." But we have the greatest job in the world as Christians to get the gospel to this world. I hope we're being faithful to it. Maybe God's been speaking to you about doing more for Him. We all can do more. We all can be a better testimony. We all can do more. We all can give more. We all can be a part more. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I don't know what the Lord's spoken to you about. But I hope you'd be faithful to responding. These men, they were sitting there. They said, "We're not going to sit here any longer. We're going to get up and go." And I wonder if the Lord's been speaking to your heart in this area of missions. Maybe in this area of being faithful to serving the Lord right here. Maybe being a part in giving and praying. Maybe the Lord spoke in your heart about surrendering. I don't know. But I hope you'd be faithful to responding. Let's all stand, Pastor.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're standing together. I think the thing that God spoke to my heart the most about tonight, and I may not say it exactly like Brother Wyatt said it, but God's not near as interested in us dying for Him as He is living for Him. And just the thought, you know, of, oh my goodness, you know, if we have to die for Him. We don't have to worry about that right now. The bigger issue is living for Him. Living for Him. A good message, many good thoughts in it. That was the one that jumped out to my heart tonight. God, help me to live for You. Help me to be that candle burning in a darkened land, to shine the light of the gospel. And He's exactly right. These things, eating, drinking, working, setting aside money, having some clothes, a hobby, none of those things are wrong. It's only when we sit on the message of grace, sit on the message of salvation, doing all those things, sit on it, neglect to tell anybody, to hand a tract to any person, then we do not will. Let God touch your heart tonight. Let God examine your heart tonight. Are you living for Him like you know you should? Are you sitting until you die? Father in heaven, bless the good message to our hearts tonight. Thank You for our brother who shared his soul. speak to us. May we not, Lord, please, become idle in these very challenging days. Help us to live for you. Speak to our hearts even tonight, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, you're going to play us a song. If you'd like to step out tonight and ask the Lord to help you a little bit, you come. We're not going to linger long. Some are coming. That's wonderful. Would you come tonight? I never get surprised when a missionary comes in and shares his heart about reaching the world, reaching the lost. That's what a missionary's burden is. That's why he's doing what he's doing. And so another missionary tonight to challenge us to go forward in our Christian life, to serve God. You respond tonight, mind the Lord as God speaks to you. And just wait while people are praying. That's a blessing.